This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
But for this Zomato,
I'm not planning to any withdraw any amount.
When he started this,
But for this Zomato, I will
already. मैं Zomato से बोल रहा हूँ. दो पराठा विद आलू ड्राई, दो पराठा विद छोले और कच्चा आम शरबत.
एक्चुअली सर, पर डिलीवरी से 25 रुपए मिलता है सर, और अगर कस्टमर 5-star रेटिंग देते हैं तो उसका 10 रुपए अलग से.
आयुष, तन्वी, आशीष, शार्दुल, आर्य आर ऑल पार्ट ऑफ द 40 crore ट्राइब दैट ordered अ पिज्जा और अ बिरयानी और अ छोले पराठा ऑन Zomato. At least once last year.
It's Z Day. The 9375 crore Zomato IPO opens for subscription today. The price band at 72 to 76. But at 76, the anchor investors have cobbed in over 4200 crores of this overall offering.
One particular aspect which is getting kickstarted today in terms of the IPO boom in the country is the first big startup's announcement for the IPO. And we are talking about Zomato.
In terms of IPO details, total IPO size is 9375 crores. Out of which primary is 9,000 crores and secondary is 375 crores. The price band is 72 to 76 rupees.
Now, Zomato has decided to go public. A little over 9,300 crores from large institutional investors and individuals like you, me or Tanvi by listing its shares in the stock market through an initial public offering. Shares we can all buy, hold and sell. Oh boy, that's a tantalizing thought, no? India's first unicorn startup, the first homegrown consumer internet platform where you can actually put your money and watch it grow. Tell me, is there any better opportunity to whet your investing appetite than this?
Then I recently found Zomato which is launching, and I personally like the business of Zomato he's running and what is his future plans.
Plus, it is really difficult to, you know, break into a space like this because the initial investment is heavy, right? It's a cash intensive business to get into. So since Zomato already has it, so I don't think it has the advantage of the early game.
It's Friday, 23rd of July, less than 100 hours to Zomato's listing. From the Economic Times, I'm Arijit Barman. In this episode of the Morning Brief, we will discuss what's attracting so many millennials bite into Zomato's IPO, the fanfare, the frenzy, and any possible flip side going ahead. With my colleagues, with influencers, a CEO of an online broking firm, and an investment advisor. But let's turn the clock back a bit. Turns out, over the last 16 months during the pandemic, many of these youngsters like Ayush were not just ordering food online or busy attending Zoom calls or watching Netflix and chilling. They were actually fiddling with their computers and phones and dabbling in stocks, putting small sums of money in the equity markets.
आज हम एक IPO के नहीं बल्कि आज हम एक revolution की बात करने वाले हैं और ये revolution startup revolution है.
On today's video, we are going to understand whether you should be investing in Zomato's IPO or not.
For some, it was about investments. For many, the adrenaline rush of making a quick buck. And for a few, it was just the heck of it. Say hello to these DIY investors. Hold on. DIY what? Let one of them only explain.
DIY investor means that it generally means that do-yourself investing. That is, you find investing opportunities on your own. You read analysis and do your investing on your own rather than going through an agent or somebody else.
inspired by the Robin Hoods in US? You know who we are talking about. Those young Turks who took the Wall Street smarts to task earlier this year.
In the meantime, of video game retailer GameStop is set to continue their head-spinning ascent today. Shares are now up more than 60% pre-market.
Robinhood has really become synonymous with millennial retail traders.
It's free. All of the major brokerage firms have followed Robinhood with zero commissions.
Robinhood has brought a whole new generation of investors into the market. The iPhone-toting millennials, who actually like owning individual stocks.
And influenced by the sexy labels in social media, they are learning hard and fast, or so they think, and taking the plunge. And Zomato is a company they are all familiar with, an app they often rely upon.
Zomato is one of the leading companies in terms of food service and delivery service. So, you know, of course, also has got its subscriber program and a loyal customer base. So I thought I should invest in this IPO because, you know, it has some great future. I have subscribed to over 14 lots. I'm looking for holding the stock for at least a year or two because since it has not got any listed peers, and I think it will do well.
You know, internet consumer companies which are planning for their IPOs. So what interests me about Zomato is not the current fact. It's about where it can head in the future since everyone's shifting to cloud kitchen. And if you look at India, you've seen a lot of cloud kitchens come up lately like Boxed and Owen Story and people like that. So what I believe is the opportunity for Zomato is to branch out into cloud kitchens and stuff.
I invested in Zomato due to multiple factors like, you know, improving unit economics in a mainly duopoly market, the vast delivery network that it has in over 500 plus cities, and the new ventures like the entry into the cloud kitchen space and the launch of Hyperpure, which supplies high-quality ingredients to restaurants.
You can't find fault in any of what you just heard. Sounds like seasoned, rational investors explaining, right? But mind you, they are all below 30. Many investing only since the last 1 year or so.
Startups, Indian startups getting listed on the stock market. That's a whole new era that we are going to start witnessing. Okay, because
So, I turned to Rachna Ranade, a chartered accountant turned vlogger, finance content creator on YouTube with over 2.75 million subscribers. Find out what's really cooking and more importantly, will this Zomato IPO deliver?
Not in recent years, to be really honest, but I remember when I started my investment journey, around that, maybe just 3-4 years down the line, there was this Reliance Power IPO, which had a record break number of DMAT accounts being opened back in that time. And I think that same kind of euphoria, the euphoria was for something that the investors knew. They knew the name Reliance. They were familiar with that name. And then they felt that, yes, I'm getting an opportunity to invest in a Reliance Group company. Yes, I know it. That is important for any investor is what I believe. So it's more of being familiar with something and we are getting an opportunity to invest in it. That creates a euphoria.
That emotional connect.
Exactly.
But honestly, you took Reliance Power's name. That story did not go very well.
True. So I can see one similarity in Reliance Power and Zomato. One is that both are in losses right now. The only thing was that, to whatever I recollect right now, Reliance Power had not even started their operations at that time. But at least Zomato has started their operations. Bhale hi losses mein hai, but they have at least started their operations since quite a long time.
You yourself did 3 investor videos, including one which said not just an IPO review. Like 3 videos? Is there so much to discuss about a simple delivery company?
So what I believe is that I had sensed that, yes, there's a huge euphoria. Retail investors are going crazy. So I felt that Zomato is something people knew just as a delivery business and nothing else. And if you look at the Zomato business model, there's much more to that. And what I believe is that delivery is just a small part of it. I know right now it does have a big chunk involved in it, but I feel that in the coming years, they may portray themselves as a technology company. They are the ones who are going to bridge the gap between the customers and the restaurants. So I think people here in India, they felt that, are, if it is technology, somewhere related to technology, and if it is getting listed on the exchange, why not try and participate in the growth story? So I felt that I should be explaining the business model to them in detail, let the people understand what it is about, and then take an informed decision.
Correct. And these questions, these inquiries, this euphoria that you talk about,
yeah,
it's from young, you know, viewers, or it's across the demographics because of the relatability factor?
I think 20s and 30s are the ones which are having the highest euphoria. Mm-hmm. Again, the same thing, the connect. Those who have been working in, let us say, IT companies and long, crazy hours of working, they were the ones who have, you know, delivered food to them when they needed it the most. But that's the emotional connect which is driving people crazy is what, again, I believe.
You must have, you know, spent a lot of time analyzing, researching.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, me and my team, we were trying to understand the business model very much in detail. We almost spent an entire week. So it was me and three of my other team members who we all put together, tried to, you know, understand the business model very much in detail.
And as you studied, more you studied, were you super confident or you had your own share of apprehensions yourself?
So I personally felt that the more I studied, the more I understood that it's not just a delivery business. It has a lot of things involved in it. The only problem that I faced in this entire analysis is that I didn't find any segment reporting for this.
These are important details because
absolutely, as
an influencer, also you feel that there is, you know, there is a lot of responsibility resting on your shoulders.
True, true. I have very clearly mentioned in it that, yes, I tried to find out the revenue split, the segment reporting split, but unfortunately, no data was available on that over the net. And it would be interesting to see the revenue split once their Q2 results are out, because in the Q2, the balance sheet is also published, right? If not, then we'll have to wait till the annual report to be published.
Got it. So let the party continue, but people should be careful.
You said it rightly. Let the party continue, but after people understand what the party is all about. Because, you know, they should be happy once they get outside the party, and they should not be like, hey, Bhagwan, kahan se aage hum? That should not be the feeling. So I think very important is that people should understand, being a startup, there are great chances that the company is not doing well financially. First study and then take a decision of investing or not.
And why is this an important import, guys? Because many of you are seduced by the bull run. Don't believe me? Just look at the data.
Apps are IPO pages and so on and so forth. And a lot of queries on social media, a bunch of interactions, engagement. And towards the last 3 days, that spike had gone up to about 100%.
That is Varun Sridhar, CEO, Paytm Money, an online brokerage firm.
I'll say the first 15 days before the IPO actually came out, we started to see roughly a 30 to 40% spike on all the landing pages. Now, one of the other things that we saw there was very interesting, was we started writing IPO content and we started doing live events in English, in Gujarati. And just to try how deep is local language, or when you switch finance to the language the users. And that response was also fantastic. And I think that led to the 100% spike. And on the last 48 hours, we even saw at a specific moment about 200, 250% spike in traffic, volumes, consumer interest, because we'd launched this pre-IPO application feature. And that had given us very, very good success. A lot of users said, this is something I relate to. I want to understand this more. I want to know what the risk is. I want to know how my money is going to be treated. So, yeah.
So this spike in traffic that you talk about, was it largely led by these first-time investors?
What was interesting this time, and when I say first-time, it doesn't mean somebody who's not even got a DMAT account, right? It means somebody who's still dabbling with capital markets, but now says, I want to do this seriously. And there is a brand, a company that I understand their business model. I believe it's forward-looking. The people I'm talking about are normally less than 30, less than 25, right? and they are, our guess is they are Zomato customers and Zomato users. So they are coming in and they are saying, hey, look, I understand this. I believe that this is the future model. Now I want to know the risks, right? And now I want the details of why and how to do that investment. So that's what I think was unique. And that was one very big segment. The second surprising segment for us, which was very happy to see, was a lot of young women. They have also come forward with the Zomato IPO and said, we want to do it.
Really?
That's been a good, you know, we were very happy to see that. Because normally women participation, and I think we've done this women only masterclass about 6 weeks back, I think, where we said, okay, you know, why women don't invest and how can we get them to start investing? Because many of them are independent, are earning, actually taking many big decisions. But when it comes to managing the money, that's not so independent and that's not so active.
Is there raw data as to what kind of women participation actually took place for the IPO?
I can tell you that it was about 30-35% more than what I see normally. Like, so if I see 100 applications, okay. If I see, let's say, normally what we see is about 15% of our users are women, right? Which is a decent number. IPO applications are normally between 10-12%. This time we saw a good 30-35% spike in the number of women investors looking at the Zomato IPO.
Very, very interesting and very positive change indeed. But were people looking to bite bigger than the usual IPO ticket sizes?
So I think that's where what we see is a very seasoned investor. And I like that about the young investor, because we all always stereotype saying young first-time investors are, you know, not well-read, they don't understand risk, there's a FOMO happening, right? That's what we always say. Now, everybody's rushing in and putting whatever they want. When you hear that question from a 23-year-old or a 25-year-old or a what we would call a young investor, it's fantastic.
But this young India we are talking about, is this urban-centric or this is actually pan-India?
So very, very surprising data. And that's what really made us happy. This is not only the first 5 or 7 cities. We had people from Nagaland applying. And what I notice is there are customers applying from tier 2, tier 3 cities. There are a lot of people who are not from urban, what you would imagine, Bangalore, Delhi, Bombay only. So yeah, we were very happy to see a very strong tier 2, tier 3 wave with the Zomato IPO.
And this momentum you think will continue, because this is just the start. We're seeing a whole host of companies, internet companies, including your parent, coming to the market, raising humongous amount of money from...
Right. First, the user is willing to give a chance to newer business models, right? And that's a definite trend. So that's one thing. I think the second thing is people are recognizing that once you build a very strong consumer brand business, eventually in the long run, there is a wealth to create and everybody wants to share that wealth, right? And so that trend, I think, is a more important trend in India. What I notice is people saying, you know, let me get Zomato IPO. This is my HDFC or my Reliance or my Infosys for the next 20 years. You know, 20 years back, I was not there when Infosys started or HDFC started. Today, I'm there at the start of something else. If I look towards the horizon 20 years from today, maybe some of these companies will really last out and will become multi-billion dollar company. Yeah.
So
that's how they're thinking about it.
Is this then a fundamental shift in terms of demographics that is sweeping Indian capital markets and the overall investing landscape? Are we becoming savvier as we get younger? Let's find out from Aditya Kondawar, Chief Operating Officer of JST Investments, a millennial investor himself, and an advisor to many. So, since you talked about your journey beginning with an IPO, the Zomato IPO, are you personally surprised at the euphoria around it?
Absolutely, Arijit. I mean, if you look at the Zomato IPO, it was a 9,350 crore IPO, right? And the amount of bids that they received was 2.1 lakh crore. I mean, the kind of demand that they generated was just phenomenal. But at the same time, I believe that all of these figures should not really surprise us, because, you know, in the past 12 to 18 months, there has been a massive addition of demat accounts. A lot of Indian investors opened a record 14.2 million new demat accounts in FY21. And this was a 3x rise.
Come again. Yeah. 1 second. 14.2
million new Demat accounts in FY21.
In just 12 months, we've had 14.2 million new.
In just 12 months. And you would not believe this was a 3x jump from the previous year's 4.9 million. So the new investors that came into the market, they have only seen gains. They have only seen the portfolios in green. I mean, earlier to 2020, the fall and the subsequent rise, people used to talk about generating, say, 10 to 20% of returns every year. Now they talk about generating 10 to 20% returns every week or every month. And I mean, all of that euphoria is being seen in the IPO demand that we have seen recently in Zomato and even Tatva Chintan.
But Zomato, here's an internet company. I thought people will be more careful because this is first of its kind. Not too many internet companies or consumer internet companies with such business model have got listed. But it seems people are just going with the flow, and especially younger people.
Yeah, absolutely. So Arijit, one fact that we have to understand in Zomato IPO is this, you know, a lot of young people, millennials, connect with the brand Zomato. Zomato is now a household brand, right? But at the same time, you know, what has happened in the markets is that there has been a tectonic shift. So when I talk about Q1 FY20, which is 8 quarters back, which is 2 years back, the median age of clients that were acquired was 34 years old. Now in Q1 FY22, which is the current quarter, the median age of clients acquired is 29 years old. Now what really happens is in times of mass euphoria like this, people tend to let go of their safety filters or research filters, right? They would just think that, okay, you know, here's an internet company. Here's a company that I use every day. This is a huge company, you know, they delivered 24 crore orders in FY21. So they just anchor onto these 3-4 things and they conclude that, okay, this is a good company.
That's worrisome.
Absolutely, Arijit. That's definitely worrisome because the thing is, not all of these tech companies will pivot into something meaningful, right? Also, from here, the journey for Zomato becomes more difficult because now they're going to be a listed entity. They have to disclose the results quarterly. They are answerable to shareholders. They can't keep on burning the same cash that they used to do when they were a private company. So a lot of factors that are associated with Zomato, not just the food delivery fact, are being conveniently neglected by the market at large.
I want to understand that, do you think that people are getting very excited, but the worry is that they are not fully understanding what they are getting into?
So Arijit, you know, what really happens in IPOs is that the number of investors that stay on with the company post the listing, so the funnel becomes smaller, right? You have a very big funnel who applies in the IPO, then you have a very smaller funnel that stays on with the company. So the bigger funnel, the mouth of the funnel, are the collective janta of India who are quite excited on Zomato IPO. You know, they think that, okay, this is a new age company. They think that, okay, 75 rupees, 76 rupees to IPO, the 100 rupees to jayega listing pe. These are all these kinds of investors that are speculating. Okay, they are looking for a quick pop. When you come down the funnel, the smaller funnel, right? These are the investors that have actually studied the company. They understand the nuances of the company, and they stay on with the company. Now, of course, as a collective, I do agree that, you know, a lot of investors are not entirely sure of what they're getting into. Kyunki kaisa na Arijit ki, in bull markets, in times of extreme euphoria, people do not even look at the DRHP document of the IPO. The DRHP document tells you everything about the IPO, but I'm pretty sure no one even reads it because it's a very extensive document that runs into 400 to 600 pages.
Based on your assessment, do you fear that the younger investors are not really sure about how a non-traditional company that does not have any listed peer isn't profitable, is actually valued? The very fundamentals, is there confusion about these important features that one should be aware of? Jumping right in.
So Arijit, let's not blame the new investors, right? It's the whole investor community at large. See, even Zomato, I mean, to be honest, no one really knows what the future of Zomato is going to look like. There are a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of things that are changing by the night, right? I mean, just right now, Zomato's biggest competitor also raised private equity funding at the same valuation as them. And, you know, Swiggy is not really answerable to any shareholder.
Do you feel that there will be a selling spree right after listing and people are expecting an initial pop? Or do you feel that people will hold on, understand how the story pans out, how the world shapes up post-pandemic, and then take a call in terms of their exit strategy?
The thing with Zomato shares is this, that, you know, it's a highly malleable landscape. Now, for example, post-listing, say they declare the results and the losses have increased, the unit economics have gone bad. So then, of course, you're going to see a selling in the stock, right? Because then automatically people assume that, okay, the company is not on the right path. When you flip it, when you see that, okay, the operating profit has increased, the company is giving a commentary that, okay, we may be profitable in a few quarters down the line. So then you may see a greater premium on the share price and you may see a greater buying in those stocks. For us to generalize at this point of time is quite difficult. You know, it's going to entirely depend on how the business performs.
So would you say this then is probably the beginning of a trend? We are going to see a number of these unicorns or early stage companies hit the market right one after the other. We have Zomato now that's opening next week, followed by probably Nykaa, Policy Bazaar, Karwale, and then the mother of all IPOs, the Paytm IPO. So do you think this party is here to stay?
Absolutely, Arijit. I mean, you put it very well, you know, the names that you mentioned. And of course, you know, I believe it's a inflection point for the IPO markets after Zomato's IPO opening and the bid garnering that happened. I started out in the markets, the companies that used to come up for an IPO were traditional companies. You know, they were built up with their own blood and sweat. They were bootstrapped. There was a single identifiable promoter family, you know. So those people built the company from scratch up. And they got it till an IPO.
Absolutely. But what should people like you and me be watching out for, you know, in a Zomato or in all these unicorns before putting their money?
So number one advice would be to read the DRHP, you know, a document that is grossly neglected by people just because they are in euphoria. And number two, of course, you know, just try to imagine what the company will do in the future, or what the market will look like for them. How will they navigate the competitive landscape and how will they stay relevant? Right? Because let's be honest, I mean, all of these companies come on the premise of tech and being platform companies. But the thing that has made all of these companies can very well defeat them, right? Because the biggest advantage and disadvantage is tech itself. You know, you can hyperscale up and you can disrupt all of these companies. Of course, not overnight, but yeah, the threat is real. So, of course, I would want investors to read a lot about it and take an informed decision. You know, a good investor is one who does not really try to compete in all of these races or competitions. There's no competition to own all of the hot stocks or sectors. So, yeah, I mean, read and then just take an informed decision.
So, informed decision is the key.
Apparently, Zomato's shares are going to be overvalued and that company itself is overvalued.
Their fundamentals seem to be a little weak. They're still making losses and that's not really how the stock market works. But if I do have some money to invest, I'd rather do it with more reputable names like Tata, Reliance, Adani, ITC, etc. Zomato, in my opinion, would be more of a gamble.
Finally, all the consumer internet action that we have been reading about, that every month India spawns at least $3 billion plus startups or unicorns, is migrating to our public markets from being an exclusive club of a select few venture capitalists who have thrived in the private markets. Understandably, then, loads of you want a slice of that pie. All that nervous excitement Zomato's management has been busy building, they are super confident. You are super confident. After all, Zomato and even its rival Swiggy has proved their mettle during the pandemic when diners were stuck at home. Even I can feel this palpable burst of collective exuberance. But hey, as you heard from people in this episode, make informed choices. Remember what your old man told you? We are middle class people. Stay away from drinking, smoking, and gambling in stocks. But jokes aside, I want to say this. Even as some of you think that Zomato is a work in progress and just like China's internet poster child Meituan, it will also keep adding layers and layers and layers of different businesses over and above its core delivery proposition to become an all-purpose services super app. Keep in mind, this is a hyper-competitive, shape-shifting business landscape where disruptors like Zomato can themselves get disrupted real fast. More importantly, world over, including India, tech companies built around large-scale processing of consumer data are suddenly under a regulatory cloud. The final shape of our emerging digital economy is still unclear. Big boys like Reliance, Tata or Amazon, Google has big plans, even bigger pockets. So the timing for this share sale might be opportunistic. The world is slushed with funds thanks to low interest rate support from the central banks, and much of that is flooding the equity markets. Lots of VCs will take handsome profits home, having backed companies like Zomato from its infancy. But you are different, as is your risk profile. So think twice, thrice, before jumping in and then losing your shirt. I'm Arijit Barman, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited and coordinated by Bhavya Dilip Kumar and Shashwat Mohanty. Reporting by Shashwat and Nehal Chalianwala. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please share on your social media handles. We really appreciate it. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursdays, and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice weekend. Goodbye and good luck. All edited sound clips in this episode belongs to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.